Now more than ever, teams must come together and work together to solve big challenges. And Trello is here to help. Trello, part of Atlassian's collaborative suite, is an app with an easy-to-understand visual format plus tons of features that make working with your team functional and fun. With Trello, you can work with your team wherever you are, whether it's at home or in an office. Keep your workflow going from wherever you are with Trello. Try Trello for free and learn more at Trello.com. That's Trello.com.
Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
Yeah. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we are here with Darren Karp, who you guys know as Andy Cohen's assistant. She is the light of my life. Darren, how are you doing?
I am the light of your life. That's probably the best job title I've ever gotten, Eric.
Truly.
I'm so excited about that. I am doing well. I am in quarantine. I am on my second week of being isolated. I guess it's like 2.5 weeks, actually. And, you know, I mean, I'm very lucky to still be able to do my job remotely. I will say I am one of the lucky ones, and I do not take it for granted, for sure.
Of course. Now, how is Andy doing? Because, obviously, we got the news just last week that he tested positive, and it was just like a collective gasp across Bravo and the world, truly.
Yeah, I think I got the most messages I've ever received that day once people found out that Andy was sick. Listen, the virus can kick anybody's ass, right? It's pretty terrible and it's not fun. And I hope people take it seriously. I mean, he's for all intents and purposes, a very healthy 51-year-old guy. I definitely think it's kicking his ass, but he will be okay. I think the hardest part is probably not seeing his son. That's been pretty difficult, of course. The good news for me is I hadn't seen him in a little bit. I hadn't seen him in about 2 weeks or so because I was traveling and doing my own show. I had to obviously like stay inside because I could still be a carrier and just in case, but I'm thankful to be showing no symptoms at all and haven't shown any symptoms in 2.5 weeks. So I think I'm in the clear, but obviously still staying indoors just in case.
Of course, yeah. And so I know that just before he had gotten the test results, they had announced Watch What Happens Live coming back remotely.
I know.
And then all of a sudden he was like, just kidding, I have coronavirus, I'm going to self-quarantine. We're going to put it on hold. But now I'm hearing that it is actually coming back and he's going to do it remotely.
Yes, he will be doing it remotely, I believe. I mean, I want to say yes, and I want to say we're coming back. I would put my money on it. However, you know, this virus sort of goes in waves. And so I don't want to say something that ends up, I don't want to jinx anything because I really do care about his health. So yes, hopefully I'm feeling confident that it will happen. It's just kind of day by day right now that we're taking it, but I'm looking forward to him being back on air and giving us that Andy Cohen magic he does a lot.
Totally. Now, you have been Andy's assistant for 9 years, which is, as you said before we started recording, the longest relationship you've ever had.
I just celebrated 9 years. Yeah, last weekend. So it's kind of surreal. I never thought I was going to be with him as long as I have been. And I got to say, it's been a great 9 years of my life.
Now, he recently did a show at 54 Below and his ex-boyfriend was there. And they did this like really playful Q&A where Andy was like spilling all sorts of things about like his freak number in the bedroom. And so, I mean, in all the time that you've known him, 9 years, you know, could you create an ideal man for Andy? Like if you could just like piecemeal a guy together, like what would it look like?
Oh my God, that's such a good question. And I've thought about this a lot because I obviously know him. I know his family. I know his friends. You know, I know him intimately in that way. I'm part of his circle. And so I've thought about this. I mean, I think if Andy ever ends up with somebody, and I'm not saying if because he can't do it, I'm just saying, you know, like who knows? I think they would have to be successful in their own right, on their own, not in the industry at all. Someone who's a very confident, secure, very smart person. Andy is, despite what people sometimes think, he is an intellectual snob, I would say. He's definitely a thinker and he's so smart. So he needs someone to combat him on that way and to challenge him. But I also think to like be a very independent person. He does not like codependency that much and doesn't like feeling codependent. So I would like to see him end up with, my preference would be a veterinarian because that way I can maybe get free pet care for my own animals. So I'm thinking about this very selfishly. Mm-hmm. I would love him to end up with a chef. I would like to reap the benefits of that. But I think schedule-wise, because his schedule is so crazy, someone would have to be really, really confident and secure in what they have going on, like someone with their own shit going on. So I don't know what that looks like necessarily. I know they would be devastatingly attractive, I'm sure.
Of course, of course.
Of course.
I feel like we should bring back like the dating game as like a celebrity dating game, and like you could host it. Andy could be the first like contestant.
Oh,
and
God.
We could just like hook him up with someone, you know?
And Patty Sanger can come in as an expert, you know, with really throwback Bravo here, right?
Oh yeah, truly. Yeah. So today we are going to talk about what the ladies from Real Housewives of New York City have been up to prior to the new season. And just catch everybody up. Are they getting into trouble? Are they not getting into trouble? You just never know with these girls.
I do have to say, I think New York, I watch all the franchises, obviously, and I will say, I get very excited when New York comes back. Obviously, we're New Yorkers, so there's some sort of like intimate knowledge that we have of the city, but I laugh the hardest, I think, with New York and probably Atlanta. And so when both of those are on at the same time, this is helping my quarantine brain stay active, and I can't wait for it to come back. I'm very excited.
Oh, my God. I know. So I have watched the first two episodes because...
As have I.
Oh, my God. Okay. So, yeah, we've been doing a couple talent interviews. We spoke to Tinsley. We spoke to the new gal, Leah. So I watched the first two episodes, and I tweeted out, like, listen, everybody, Roni is here to save us. Don't you worry. And people are so excited about this new season. I feel like it's so good. I love Leah. And I love Leah.
Right? I love her. She's like, she's one of my favorite newest housewives in a while. You know what? She's got like that type of vibe that I love about Denise Richards, where it's a little bit of like, I don't give AF. And I like how outspoken and just confident and secure they are as their own people. And I'm so excited for her to be part of this, franchise. Yeah.
And I feel like you'll understand when I say like, I have a really big crush on her, and like, I'm super gay, but like, I feel like I would make out with her if given the opportunity.
I would make out with her in any opportunity given, even if the slightest door was open, I would absolutely do it. And I am the gayest person alive. So I can confidently say, Leah, I love you.
Now, speaking of people that you may or may not have kissed, I feel like you kissed Tinsley on the gay pride float.
I did.
Last summer. Is that true?
It is true. Maybe Leah and I are Eskimo brothers in that way, because we do see in the preview that Leah and Tinsley lock lips.
True.
Which was, you know, the storyline I've been waiting for in The Housewives. So I was excited about that. But yes, we did lock lips. Tinsley and I have kissed. And not upset about that at all, Eric. I am not complaining. Don't think I'm complaining.
Oh, absolutely not. So speaking of Tinsley, we saw, I think right at the end of last season, or maybe it was after the season had filmed, that she had gone to China and she rescued two adorable little dogs, Strawberry and Shortcake.
Oh, I love her for doing this. You know, she rescued them from a meat market, and I'm an animal lover through and through. And just the fact that she saved, you know, can't save them all, but the fact that she saved these two little pups and named them the cutest names possible. I will always love Tinsley Mortimer for doing this.
Absolutely. Now, it's funny because the Yulin Meat Festival is something that Lisa Vanderpump has talked about so much on Beverly Hills and Vanderpump Rules. So just to see like another housewife aligned, you know, to try to save animals in the same region is just so funny. And I was like, Tinsley, I was like, did you reach out to Lisa? And she was like, no, she was like, I probably should have. And I was like, that is a little collaboration I would like to see, a little Tinsley, little Lisa, you know?
Oh my God, that's the crossover we all need, right?
Yes, absolutely. Like East Coast, West Coast. You know, there's something there, I think. So I'll remind Tinsley. I guess going into this season, the big thing is obviously Bethany Frankel. She announced her departure. They kind of address it right in the beginning of the first episode, which I think, you know, they kind of had to do.
Yeah, it's a big thing. I think Bethany has been sort of the center of New York City for a while. And I think that she, you know, is an important figure in the cast. So I think it was important for them to kind of just see all the reactions going forward. You know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, from your experiences being with Andy, working on, you know, shows here and there, have you met Bethany? What's she like in person? Were you surprised when she announced she was leaving?
I have met Bethany in person. I have worked with her before. She has been nothing but a consummate professional with me. I mean, she's exactly, she's what my dad calls WYSIWYG, which is what you see is what you get. So to me, you know, she was the Bethany Frankel. She was a firecracker. You know, we were giving each other like fun attitudes. She was playing around with me, like, and she was being snarky and making fun of me in all the best ways. I remember one of my first jobs at Bravo after the Andy thing, when I was starting to do digital work, was I got to go to all the reunions and start interviewing the housewives, you know, in their makeup chair. And I remember this was probably, you know, 5 years ago, but I was interviewing Bethany at the reunion, you know, and I was like, you know, what can we expect? She's like, you're like an ESPN reporter with this, asking me like sideline moves. And I was like, yes, I am, Bethany. Thank you so much. So she's been great. I absolutely love her. Listen, I think no matter what you think about Bethany, she is doing incredible charity work. Certainly with coronavirus, she's starting to do that. Hurricane relief, Puerto Rico. She's like a true humanitarian, and I got to give it up to her for that. Her philanthropy has been something to aspire to, and it's been really, really incredible to watch.
It's so true. I mean, every time there is some kind of crisis going on in the world, I feel like one of the first people I see post about it is Bethany. Not only is she posting about it to raise awareness, but like shortly thereafter, she's posting about her action plan and exactly what they're going to be doing to like save the world. I'm like, damn, I'm like, can Bethany be president? Like, I would vote for her.
Well, exactly. I mean, I think she says something about like what private people can do on their own. And there's a lot of things that private citizens can be doing that's helping out. You know, it's not just relying on the government, but individual citizens can really do their part. And Bethany certainly has the funds for it, maybe more than you and I do. But just like the awareness and the fact that she wants to take action, I just think, you know, despite what you think about her for the good or the bad, this is a great thing that she's doing. And we should acknowledge that.
Absolutely. The one thing that I'm kind of bummed out about with Bethany not coming back is that we will not get to meet her boyfriend, Paul, because he looks cute.
He looks super cute. I mean, I didn't doubt Bethany to not date someone cute, but he does look cute. I mean, I've only really seen pictures of him, certainly through last year's reunion and then through Bethany. But he looks great. And they've been dating, I think, for about a year now or something, right?
Yeah, I think it was September 2018 that they started dating.
Okay, so year and a half. That's a real relationship.
That is solid, I would say. Okay, so outside of Bethany, let's talk about Countess Luann and the journey that we've been on with her over the last couple of years.
Yes.
So let's go back. 2017, arrested in Palm Beach, Florida, which is like a trend with our Bravo celebrities to just be getting arrested in Palm Beach. Did not go
super well. It's a rite of passage, Eric. Like, right. I want to go to Palm Beach just to be arrested to feel closer to them.
We all deserve a mugshot from Palm Beach. Like, it's
amen.
Only-
yes.
So obviously she went through all sorts of legal issues with that. She stopped drinking. There was sort of all of last season was about her sobriety and a little bit of the ego she had kind of developed given her cabaret show and all of that. So have you seen the cabaret show? I know that you actually did. I think we'll see it this season, like comedy show fundraiser with Luann.
I did do that. Yes. I don't know if my part will be shown because I wouldn't say what I said was comedy at all. I was, let's just say I was misinformed about the target of that entire shtick. I saw all the ladies there. Obviously I did perform. I was one of the first ones, but I actually, I actually talked about a hate crime that happened to me. It wasn't funny. There was a lot of positivity that came out of it, but it wasn't funny. So I'm not sure I'm going to make the cut. But I also did see her cabaret. Actually, I was one of the, quote, I don't want to say openers because that would just assume that Luann hired me and I am not an opener of MC, but I kind of helped warm up the audience at BravoCon on the last night on Sunday when she was performing her cabaret. So I did see that performance, but I have not gone. I haven't had the opportunity or the time really to go see her at 54, anything like that.
I think I've spoken about this on the podcast before. I was at the actual performance that was filmed for the finale a couple seasons ago, the whole Giovanni situation or whatever.
And Giovanni!
Giovanni! And so many people have asked me since then, like, did you hear Dorinda screaming? Did you hear? And I was like, no. I was like, it was so loud in there. Everybody was drunk. So many fans were there and they were so excited. I was like, I could not hear Dorinda, but I do believe she probably was screaming. But the interesting thing about Luann, and we learned this from the Super Tease, is now that probation is over, we open up with the very first episode with her kind of leaving the courthouse and she's putting it behind her. But we know from the Super Tease that she is going to be drinking again.
Yes, she will be drinking. I mean, listen, I don't think that she has an alcoholic problem. I don't think that she's an alcoholic in any stretch. I mean, I think that she takes it seriously, and I think that she is allowed, when she served her time, to live her life again the way that she sees fit, as long as she's taking care of herself and the people around her. You know, she's allowed to have a cocktail if she can. You know, I feel okay about that.
Well, I think too, all of the ads we see on TV for alcohol, they always have the little disclaimer at the bottom, please drink responsibly. Yes. And so I think that is something that, given everything Luann has been through, she can probably incorporate that into her life going forward. And being able to be sober for as long as she was, and being at a cabaret show every night where her entire audience is drinking and people are backstage, you know, like, for her to get through all of that, I think she definitely has the capability at this point going forward to be more responsible with the way she's drinking.
I agree. I think she can be an example. I mean, not only that, yeah, she's in the nightlife scene because of cabaret, but also her castmates drink. And that's why I'm kind of excited for Leah to come on board, because not only is she arrested for assaulting a police officer, but also she doesn't drink. I mean, she's one of those people that she can drink. She's not considered an alcoholic, but she knows that when she drinks, she can go to the nth degree, which she talks about pretty openly. But I'm excited for Luann to kind of have an ally and someone to maybe relate to her on a level that the other ladies can't relate to her on in the same way.
No, that's very true. And honestly, the first thing I said when I saw Luann on my screen when I watched this new season was, damn, she looks so good.
She looks amazing. That's exactly what I thought. She looked awesome.
I mean, beautiful. Let's go over to Dorinda, who I absolutely adore. I feel like you and Dorinda have this really amazing chemistry that I've just seen over the years. Is that
true? Thank you.
Do you feel that way?
I definitely feel that way. Yeah, we get along very, very well. She's my girl.
Now, we see in the beginning of the season, she is still with John, but I do believe at this point, we know that the two of them are on a break.
Yes, I had heard that when the news kind of broke, which has been out for kind of some time now, but I'm not sure, you know, how, you know, it's hard to say, because I feel like with the news cycle, especially today, it's like we hear one thing, and when you hear that you're on a break, like, that could change at any given time. So I'm kind of waiting to see how the season plays out to see if there's any hope for them getting back together or not, because I don't know, you know, I don't know.
Well, I think, and with Dorinda being on a break from John, I think for her being on a break is very different than perhaps other people on her cast. No shade to Tinsley, but like when I spoke to her the other day, she kept saying, well, Scott and I have broken up a million times. We've broken up a million times. And I mean, it's true. If we look back at the last couple of seasons, they are so on again, off again that nobody can keep track. But with someone like Dorinda, I feel like when she decides I'm on a break, it's like, that is it. And there is no seeing John. There's no interacting with John. They're taking their time apart, not going out to dinner or maybe spending time with each other. So, I mean, it's too bad because I like John and I feel like they've been such interesting companions for so long. And their relationship was a little unconventional in the sense that they didn't live with each other. Dorinda didn't really care to have him move in or for them to live together. So I'm sad to know that they're on a break. But I mean, if that's what's best for Dorinda, that's what's best for Dorinda.
Well, I agree with that. I mean, to me, I love their relationship because it sort of mirrored me and my own girlfriend. You know, my girlfriend and I have been together for 5 years. We don't live together. People kind of think that we're a little crazy. You know, how could you not want to do that? And I'm like, listen, every relationship is different. And I think it's important for the public to see, especially as we kind of are redefining the term housewife, to see that there's all different types of relationships. Some relationships work where you're around each other 24/7. You need to be around each other. You have to be around each other. And then there's other relationships that are more companionships and partnerships. And, you know, you rely on that person as the other side of the argument. And I think, you know, whatever is best for Dorinda is best for Dorinda. But I always liked seeing her and John and to see how she kind of scolds him and he teases her back. They always seem to have a very playful relationship with each other. And I appreciated that as a fan for sure.
Well, where do you think she's getting her dry cleaning done now? I mean,
that's the real question. But I will say, I mean, knowing Dorinda and knowing John, if they took a break, I'm sure he's still a gentleman and still dry cleaning her clothes for free.
That's true. I feel like I believe that as well. I really do.
Yes.
Well, speaking of Tinsley, we do learn that she and Scott are back together, and then he proposed.
Yes, he did, with like carolers or something, right? Like Christmas yes. carolers. And he sort of set the bar high for all the other men trying to propose to housewives, I think, out there.
True.
I'm happy for her. As long as Tinsley is happy in her relationship, I definitely think there's been, you know, we kind of saw at the tail end of last season and certainly into this season, some contention about how honest she was about her and Scott. And, you know, I think for Tinsley, it's kind of like, I'm an adult. I get to do what I want. I don't know what's happening. And I don't want to say one thing or the other. But listen, Tinsley deserves to be happy. She deserves to be healthy. And so as long as she's got both of those things, I'm all for it.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing that I feel like so many fans are worried about is that she's spending a lot more time in Chicago. She's being very open about it on social media, posting about all the time she's spending there. So people are getting very fearful that she's going to be leaving the show, because how do you be a Real Housewife of New York City without, you know, being in New York City? So I'm just a little worried about that.
That is my one worry. I've always liked Tinsley. She's always been a sweetheart. She's a great kisser. So that's really the important thing here. But it's definitely something to think about and something to keep in the back of your mind. And I hope she stays, because I really enjoy her.
I know. Me too. Going back to Luann for a minute, she released a song over the summer.
Yes, she did.
Do you love Feeling Giovanni?
I mean, I loved Feeling Giovanni. I thought that it was funny, because when it first came out, you know, I was like, do I like this song? Like, is it a banger like her other ones? And then, you know, like a typical Luann song, you find yourself not only listening to it multiple times, but it's in your head all day. You know, like I'll be getting ready for the morning and I'm like, Feeling Giovanni. Like, I have it in my head now. And so I think that's a testament to a true banger and a true hit. And she knows how to write those songs, man. So I love everything she's put out. I will listen to it forever. I'm a big fan of hers.
With the Feeling Giovanni, I feel like when you first hear it, you're like, I'm not sure. And then the sax comes in and you're like, oh, wait a minute. It's just gone to a whole new level.
it's a jazz routine, my friend. I mean, it's a very layered thing here.
She is also working on a new single called Viva La Diva.
Such a good name.
Heard. I know.
How could that be bad? Like, come on now. That's pretty amazing.
I'm feeling like maybe there'll be like a disco element. There's going to be, it could be maybe like an 80s. There's definitely going to be something else that takes this song to the next level, because Feeling Giovanni had the sax. Like, what will Viva La Diva be?
Oh my God. What if it's like EDM beats or something? And she's just like, she could go any genre she wants. Do we know the release date for Viva La Diva yet?
I don't. I mean, she's going to surprise us with it. And I mean, now is a good time. I feel like we all deserve a new song from Luann, given all we're going through. But, you know, we'll just have to wait.
I agree. I actually have Luann coming on my People TV show Reality Check today. So maybe I will ask her and encourage her to get this thing out to the masses. It's the song we all need.
Imagine if it's like an old school hip hop, like she just goes completely left and it's like,
oh my God, it's like
R&B or something.
What if it's an opera or something? So totally different. That would be great.
I mean, you just never know. If she's coming on your show, I also want you to ask about this sort of secret relationship that she's been in for a little while, because I spoke to her at BravoCon and I asked her about dating, and she was sort of dodgy about her answer, but she was kind of like, you know, there is somebody. And then there was, I think, some news reports about her touring agent, this guy named Rich that she was seeing. So if you can get info out of her.
I am on it. I absolutely want to know what is going on with her. I've heard multiple things as well. I think people are just so interested in Luann. First off, she's gorgeous. Like, anyone would want to date her, and she's successful. But I'm going to get the tea for you, Eric. I promise.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Yep.
Okay, let's talk about Ramona.
I mean, what is there to say about Ramona? She's still killing it at 63. Looking great.
She looks so incredible. And I mean, the last time that she came into the office, she was in such a good mood, and she was in this like mini dress, and she was showing off her legs, and she was just talking about how she's in such good shape. And she had just moved into her apartment at that time too, and she was like showing us a video. But it's kind of a big space for someone to be alone in. And I know that's a lot of what she deals with this season, is kind of being single and wanting to find love again. And like, all I want for her is to find like the companionship we were talking about. I feel like Ramona deserves that at this point.
I agree with you. I mean, listen, I think a lot of people, certainly with Mario's situation, wanted her to get back with Mario. But I feel like it's such the female empowerment move for her to not only look Ramona looks better at season 12 than she did in season 4. And it's kind of amazing to see her transformation, but she's really coming to her own even in her 60s. So I say if she wants to be with Mario, great. If she doesn't, that's great too. Like she's such like the social butterfly of the group now. And it's really, really been fun to watch her come into her own.
What's interesting is that she is self-isolating with her daughter and Mario right now, I think in Palm Beach. So like, I mean, if there's nothing else to do, could they possibly rekindle a romance? Maybe they're at least sleeping with each other. I would hope that much.
I would hope that much just for Ramona's sake or for Mario's sake for that good point in time. But, you know, in quarantine times, I've read a lot of things about how people have to like, you know, first off, it's not good to have new partners right now for obvious reasons and spreading the disease. But like, so it's either, you know, don't date anybody, go on virtual dates or kind of stick with the partner that you're currently living with. And I'm curious to see, because when quarantine ended in China, the divorce rate went up. And so I'm curious to see how many people in these situations either rekindle their relationships and don't get divorced and or decide that they really can't be together. And so I think the Mario and Ramona saga isn't over, and I'm really curious to see what happens.
I know. Well, and the other thing that had me a little bit worried about Ramona is that she also recently announced that she has Lyme disease. And not only is she over 60, but now she has a compromised immune system. So I'm like, Ramona, please stay inside. Do not go out. Like, it is too risky at this time. You know, I'm just like, I'm very worried.
I'm worried, but I'm excited. I don't know how to put it.
Right.
The Roni women always get me like, oh my God, what is going to occur? I mean, Sonia's the gift that keeps on giving. Like, just everything about it. I'm always surprised, and yet I can't be surprised because nothing is off limits with these ladies.
It's so true. Well, Darren, thank you so much for calling in.
Thanks for having me.
Of course, anytime. And why don't you let everybody know, not only are you hosting with people, are you working with Andy as his assistant, but you also have a podcast.
Yes, I do. I have two podcasts, actually. Martinis and Murder on Oxygen. You can find that anywhere you get your podcast. I am a co-host with my good bud, John Thrasher, who you know very well, Eric. So I have another podcast that I just want to shout out that I'm starting. Actually, our inaugural episode is with Leah McSweeney. So she is going to tell all about how she got involved in Roni and all of her sexual escapades. And it's really great. And it's a new podcast called Scissoring Isn't a Thing. So it's very LGBTQ friendly forward. I co-host it with my partner, Liz Cully, who was a bisexual married woman. And so we just have a lot of fun and great conversations to be had. So check out Scissoring Isn't a Thing as soon as we launch, which should be next week.
That is the best title I've ever heard of a podcast ever.
Don't you want to listen to it as a gay man, Eric? Come on, right?
Absolutely. I already have in my mind like an image of like what the logo would look like. Like there's just a lot in my head right now that I can't really verbalize. But
not for the kids out there. Well, good. Yeah, I hope you listen to it.
That's so awesome. Well, thank you, Darren. Stay safe and stay positive. It's been so great to talk to you. You're always such, like I said, a light in my life.
I miss you, Eric. I'll need some nude selfies from you later, you know, just to keep up with that office mentality. You know what I mean? I don't want us to lose that magic between us.
For sure.
Thanks, Eric.
Thanks, Darren. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9.
And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long, not just Thursdays. You can find us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
And on Twitter at Bravo TV. Just don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm everywhere at Eric J. Mack. That's E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out.
You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me, kiss.